Welcome to Payment Matters. I'm your host, Jeff Lynn. Thanks for tuning in today. On this show, we talk about the ever-changing landscape of healthcare payments and the impacts to healthcare payers, providers, and consumers. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag Payment Matters and follow me at Jeff B. Lynn. For today's show, I'm really excited to introduce Tony Hansen. Tony is with Providence St. Joseph's Health Information Security Team and works as a liaison to the banks and card brands related to the PCI and really secure payments. But I want to just kind of take a step back and really allow Tony to explain a little bit about his role, his journey, and a little bit about Providence, you know, what they do in today's healthcare environment. Tony?
Absolutely. Hey, Jeff. I'm very excited to be a guest today. I've really enjoyed Payment Matters, and you've had some really illustrious guests, and I've learned a lot, so I'm quite honored to be a guest myself. I have just completed 10 years with Providence. We recently merged with St. Joseph Health, so now we are Providence St. Joseph Health. I'm in information security, but my focus almost the entire time I've been there has been payments, PCI, our integration with Epic, and trying to remove our payment infrastructure from or reduce its scope to PCI and really increase our security and reduce our risk through secure payment systems. At Providence St. Joseph Health, just a little bit about it, they're a national not-for-profit Catholic health system. We've got 51 hospitals, 829 physician clinics, senior services, supportive housing, and many other health and educational services. We employ almost 120,000 caregivers, and we serve communities across 7 states: Alaska, California, Montana, New Mexico, Oregon, Texas, and Washington. We also have insurance health plans, cafeterias, gift shops, guest rooms, Starbucks and Subway franchises, health clubs, parking garages, foundations. Really, almost any business you find in a small city, you're going to find in a health plan. And so I think a lot of your listeners probably understand the complexity and diversity of all the kinds of payments that we would try to secure. My personal journey here started with Epic. We were implementing Epic, and I innocently asked, how do we do credit card payments in Epic? And as they traced that through, it was obvious that we were not going to be able to secure the health data side to the level that was needed for the payment side. And so in working through how we were going to make it so that we weren't exposing health data to credit card data, came up with some secure payment transaction systems. And we've been evolving that ever since. We've moved that beyond to the non-clinical with the same kind of journey.
Got it. I mean, it's clearly a massive business across multiple channels and multiple organizations. As you mentioned, it's a small city, but by a small city all across the country, right? It's a big undertaking. And I think for some of our listeners, we understand the nuances of securing health data and, you know, with especially medical records. How do you view payment security and how is that, like, in terms of the evolution of that? Has that changed over the years in terms of the needs and demands of payment security? We've been hearing about that for some time, about the criticality of that, but interested in your point of view about what kind of evolutions and things have changed since you've been there for 10 years.
Yeah, it's really evolved. If you think back 10 years ago, when you were a patient, when you were going in, your copay may be $5, $10, or $15, $20, and you might pay with cash, you might pay with a check, and maybe a card, but it wasn't as, you know, absolute, because now with the consumerization of healthcare, a lot of that accountability is on the patient. And so, you know, they're not carrying $100 in cash with them. They're not carrying, you know, they may carry a checkbook, but that's really dropped off. And so they're paying with their debit card or their credit card. And it's really become incumbent upon us to not only protect the health data, because we are required to through HIPAA, but that payment information, which, you know, I care about my health data, but I really care about my financial data. And so it's really, it becomes part of that caring mission to make sure that we're securing people's cards data. And it's just gotten more and more and more. And you know, now there's separate charges maybe for labs, and every service that you get through a health system may have different charges and you know, different places you've got to pay. So we're really having to secure across all kinds of different channels that have come up really in the last 10 years. So we've had to get smart about security and securing different campaign and also making them available for people to use.
Yeah, you know, and as you know, as organizations start looking at security of this payment data, you know, what do you tell? Do consumers care? And you know, I guess you look at this, you know, you get the medical records, and you don't want that to be going into the public domain. But you know, I've heard sometimes the naysayers, well, it doesn't matter. I can, if my credit card gets stolen, I can just get a new one, and it's covered by my credit card companies. Or if it's used as for a fraudulent transaction, doesn't matter here. How important is it for a small or large organization to be really thinking about this, and kind of what's your viewpoint of that?
It's a really interesting question, because as people put out personal data into the social media universe, less and less do they worry about their healthcare data, and to a certain degree, like you say, with the payment stuff. But when it comes to reputations, boy, if you don't protect that and you have a breach, you know, studies show that people will leave your organization in droves. They may come back a little bit, but they remember that reputation hit. And so people do what they do with their own data, but if you lose it, oh my goodness, there's really no forgiveness. And really there shouldn't be. It is our responsibility to secure that, even if individual consumers or patients might not. So it is incumbent upon us, and it's something that we can't let down our guard, even as other people do. Now, there are going to be other types of health systems. So Apple's getting into it, and lots of other tech companies are starting to get into it. And it's going to take some kind of helping them understand that the open sharing that people might do with their social media stuff isn't going to wash with systems that handle healthcare data. So I think there's a lot of learning and a lot of innovating that's going to be going on.
Got it. Yeah.
People are used to sharing data, and that doesn't make it so that we don't have to be serious about it.
Yeah, you know, and that makes sense in terms of reputational risk, and that's clearly an important thing here. We've seen this with multiple data breaches occurring across not just healthcare. I mean, retail. A lot of retail companies out there are experiencing the same thing. So, as a consumer who is exploring and are looking for healthcare services, you know, what can they do to making sure that when they're paying a bill or paying their medical provider, what questions should they be asking to ensure that the data is kept safe, that they're not susceptible to having their information exposed that it shouldn't be?
Well, that's another good question. I got confirmation yesterday that throughout the Providence system, we're no longer putting on the bills a place to pay with a credit card that you write down on that bill and return through the mail. You know, any place that you see that a system is accepting payment, make sure that it's a way that is protecting the data. So, you know, online, making sure that the little lock box is there, not sending it through the mail. If you're stating it over the phone, you know, you don't know how call systems are set up. We have systems now where if a payment comes in over the phone, they're entering it on an encrypted keypad that's encrypted there, and we don't have access to the data. Also, a call recording pause so that the credit card number itself is not being done. As a consumer, you don't really know what those systems might be like that. You can certainly ask, how are you protecting my data? Or is there a, it's called an IVR where you use your phone to enter the digits and you put in your call number that way. It's up to consumers to ask those questions and to be wise to how they're doing it. You know, I think just being aware of different systems and really don't write your credit card number down, either on something that's being shipped through the mail or through email or any system that is really open like that. Be smart, yeah. Do it online.
Yeah. We've seen, the prior guests have told us some interesting stories, tied to that. In terms of, there's oftentimes, a lot has talked about security. And I think we've talked about that in the first few questions. But there's also a talk about compliance, and a lot of times people, I guess, there's confusion about the differences between what is security and what is compliance. And interested in your point of view, how should these healthcare organizations be considering the difference between security and compliance? What's your point of view about that? Yeah.
Wow. It's one of your earlier Payment Matters episodes had some really good guests talking about this, and I really agree that compliance sort of shows the results of your program, but it really oftentimes is just the lowest common denominator. You want to find systems that reduce your risk and increase your security. And one of the things that has changed over 10 years is really the ubiquitous of point-to-point encryption, where it's like I've said before, it's encrypted at the point of swipe and stays that way till it gets to the gateway. So point-to-point encryption gives you that capability of being secure and compliant. But what it really enables is so that your staff, your people that are taking payments, can't make a mistake and somehow put you at risk. And so while PCI really likes having both the chip and PIN capability and the point-to-point encryption, what those technologies do is give you the security and the risk reduction that we really care about. Because checking a box on compliance, if somebody can put you at risk, you're no longer compliant, and you put your organization at risk. And so compliance is important, but it's the underlying security and risk reduction that really matters. And so you're always looking for architectures that enable that security and the risk reduction, and hopefully the compliance will come along. But they really are very, very different. And one is just a view of your program, and the other is your program to get to security and lower your risk.
Got it. No, that's a great answer. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Payment Matters. I'm joined by Tony Hansen of Providence St. Joseph's, and we're discussing the role that security and compliance plays within healthcare. And Tony, as you're talking about this, and I think I heard these two terms that you use, ubiquitous, and really all these emerging new technologies that are out there. And I could look at ubiquitous meaning healthcare's all over. I'm paying my copay at the front desk. I'm sometimes paying, getting my bill, two or three months later on, and I'm paying that bill then. I'm paying, sometimes I'm potentially renting stuff, renting equipment. The chances for payments is ubiquitous. It's everywhere, right? And it's changing significantly, especially with all these new technologies. Interested in kind of your viewpoint here as all these innovations are happening and evolving. Where do you see this trending? Either in a good or bad light, tied to benefits that a consumer may have, or things or concerns that you have as things become more ubiquitous in these healthcare environments.
Right. Well, I think where we're going, and I think as an industry, but also as sort of a pillar of payments overall, is we need to be able to enable people to make payments where they are. We had a case where there was one of the hospitals in our system had centralized places where people could go to make payments. They couldn't make payments where they were. And so a review looked at it and said, well, now people are walking away from the place that they are able and willing to make a payment, where they're finding out they have a responsibility, to go somewhere else, to an office, to a business office, to make a payment. Well, you're going to lose some amount of people. And it was kind of an interesting statistic that males 18 to 24 were most likely to walk out and not pay at that point. They're not going to go to the office to make that payment. Whereas if you're able to take the payment there or enable them to make the payment on their phone, you're more likely going to get that payment right now. So you need to make it easy. You need to make it clear that they have a responsibility, and you need to be able to collect it at the time that it makes sense. The days of, I'm not going to pay till the fourth bill comes because that'll be a real bill, and the first three were just EOBs, is over. We can't afford systems to wait that long, and consumers are definitely frustrated about it. So I think using technology to make it easy and make those payments possible where the patients are is important. And yeah, like you said, there's a lot of different services that used to be combined that maybe now they're splitting out. And so there's different places I think we need to get it so it's much simpler to understand what the breakouts are. And insurance is getting more and more complicated. This is covered, that's not. This used to be covered, it's not. Now not. And I guess one of the areas that it has promised to fix some of that is blockchain. There's an interesting thing that's been coming up with smart contracts and enabling distributed ledgers for some solutions in here, where once payers and providers agree that these are the components that make up a contract, if those are met, they'll be auto-adjudicated claims. And that's sort of the great holy grail. How can we get to higher auto-adjudicated claims? But recently, Bruce Schneier in Wired had a different take on how easy that is. I didn't know how extremely expensive blockchain-type technologies were, both in data storage and the electricity to maintain it. One cryptocurrency transaction, like Bitcoin or something, can take more power than an average U.S. household uses in a day. So there's new technologies coming, but I think that there's no silver bullets, and we need to do research and find out if they're really going to help us and make things simpler and easier for consumers and have our eyes wide open with new technologies as they come along.
Yeah, and that's interesting. As you know, the old adage I've heard before is good, fast, cheap. Pick two, right? It's you can't win them all when that happens. And yeah, and I think, you know, it's exciting to see the innovation and explore new things such as blockchain and how important that is. You know, one thing that we've heard also in the industry, big words tied to tokenization, like tokens, and maybe for the listeners out there, Where do you see that? Where do you see that playing in payments today? And also, you know, within the healthcare environment, tokenization, and maybe starting off with the group, like what is tokenization? that seems like a big hot word out there.
Sure, it's sort of one of the big technologies that we rely on. So I spoke earlier about point-to-point encryption, where that card data is encrypted at the swipe, and it stays that way till it gets to the gateway. That's great for the first time to get that information to the gateway or a one-time payment. But if you want to do recurring payments, you want to be able to refer to that card number time and time again. And so after you get it to the gateway the first time, if it's a recurring payment, they will keep that card data and send back a token that our systems can then handle. And then on a recurring basis, re-engage that token. It goes to the gateway. They know what the real card number is and send it on for processing. It really is part of the big technologies that make sure that card data is hosted and protected by those whose job it really is, and let those of us who have jobs that aren't that are mission driven and supplying care for people, that we can focus on that part of what we do and just be able to get paid for it. So it really becomes a partnership. And what kind of partner you have and what their technical abilities are, Tokenization for recurring payments is something that we're using a lot. That's basically our architecture for recurring payments.
That's great. And for understanding here, so if a hacker comes in and decides to grab that token and decides to go to someone else, are they able to use that token to process that consumer's, leverage that consumer's payment information for other payments?
No, good clarification. It's nonsense to anybody but the gateway that holds the real card data. It's basically a nonsense number that has no value if used outside of the holder of the real data. So we can freely use it and display it and put it in our code however we want to do it, because if you can steal a whole bank of them, and it's no good to you.
Got it. It's great that these new technologies such as blockchain, et cetera, kind of are having a potential significant impact in reducing the security risks that are out there. You know, let's fast forward this. And, you know, Tony, you had a crystal ball here and you had the power to do whatever you want and have really kind of big impact. Where do you see this, like, in 10 years? Kind of where would you like to see most health organizations move to? What do you think is going to happen in terms of security and compliance? Kind of what's your nirvana for this?
Well, great question. So I guess if you work in security and credit cards and you're part of the system, I've come to a realization that credit cards are stupid. It is a 60 or maybe at this point 70-year-old technology based in plastic and magnetic numbers, and you know, there's been some updates with like chip and pin, but it's still old technology. Finding ways to use wallets, finding ways to make it so that the payment information is not part of something physical that can be stolen, or that it is a number that can be hacked. Getting to a point where we can make payment exchanges without the threat and the security. It's not, you know, it's not smart to have your money be at that kind of risk. So I think over time we're going to come up with different ways to exchange value that's not going to be so dangerous. And I think I think we're working towards that. I think that the various wallets are a good way. That way the card is stored somewhere else, and again, it's a token on your phone, and that's what's used. So if that phone is stolen, the payment information in there doesn't exist in the phone, so that we sort of hide the security and hide the risk reduction from the user or the patient. So it's just a secure way to exchange value, and you're not worried about your credit card getting hacked.
Yeah, it's interesting. As you're talking here, Tony, I use a lot of ride sharing apps today. And I compare and contrast that to kind of how I used to ride taxis, right? To pull up my card information. It's seamless, you know, it's frictionless. And, you know, getting in and out of the cabs, I know it's not the same as going in and out of a hospital. But I think that friction is definitely removed. Especially leveraging, these new technologies. And I think it's a dream. I think for many. Yeah.
But as you know, if you go to a website to purchase something that's not as smooth and frictionless as Amazon, you're like, boy, these guys are not really up with it. And the same with the ride sharing. It makes it so seamless that becomes our experience and our expectation. And if healthcare doesn't get to the same level, And man, you know, that really would be a dream. If we could make paying for your health care as easy as doing a Lyft ride, I think we would have achieved some kind of nirvana, because, you know, your Lyft ride is, this is what it is. This is what it costs. This is how much it is. And I'm going to add a tip if I want. It's very clear. We need to get health care to that kind of an experience, because that's what our patients are going to expect. They have it the rest of, you know, their life elsewhere.
That's great, Tony. And you know, with that being said, you know, really we all hope to get to, I call it, security compliance nirvana, Right. I think that is our goal here as we look at that. I think for the listeners today, we are extremely grateful to have you talk to us today. And really thanks for joining me and kind of helping me understand sort of all the things that you're dealing today from a payment perspective. Where can our listeners go to follow you if they want to learn more or understand a little more about yourself?
Oh, excellent. Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Tony Hansen, PCI and Information Security Strategic Consulting. I'm happy to answer questions or lend any information or experiences I've got.
Great. Well, thank you again, Tony. And thank you to all for listening in. Remember that you can listen to this episode weekdays at 4:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 8:30 p.m. Eastern. If you have a comment about this episode or the show, follow hashtag Payment Matters or connect with me on Twitter at Jeff B. Lin. You can learn more about my show at healthcarenowradio.com or instamed.com. Until next time, I'm Jeff Lin. Thank you.